Welcome to AM Best Audio.
We're here in Monte Carlo for the rendezvous de septembre for AM Best TV. I'm Richard Banks. And I'm joined now by John Kavanagh, chairman and founder of Beat Capital. John, it's great to see you again. Welcome.
Lovely to see you, Richard, as always.
So we're here halfway through the rendezvous de septembre. It's a busy week. It always is a busy week. Lots of topics of conversations. This year, MGA seemed to be quite high up on the agenda. Can you tell us a little bit about perhaps the extent to which MGAs can reinvent the value chain?
Yeah, of course. I'm not sure reinventing the value chain is the appropriate phrase for it. I mean, I think MGAs have taken their rightful place in the market infrastructure. I think the type of MGA that we're seeing evolving is very different from, you know, everybody's historic perception of an MGA. I think they're much more professional organizations. They have a very strong underwriting focus, whereas I think 25, 30 years ago, they were principally distribution engines. So I think the MGA has become a full service underwriting provider of everything that a capital provider needs to write in certain classes of business. And quite naturally, the MGAs are largely focused on specialized areas of business. And as we've seen the surplus line market expand and grow to the extent that we have, particularly over the last 5 to 7 years, you know, the MGAs have played a more prominent role in that. And I really think they've taken their place in the overall ecosystem of the market. The whole thing's become a lot more professional, more stable. And I think a lot of capital providers see MGAs as means by which they can enter certain fields of specialty insurance where they have limited knowledge themselves and gain momentum and knowledge for a certain class of business through that route. So I really feel that quite rightly, the MGAs have come of age, they've changed, they are now providing a lot more, certainly from an underwriting standpoint, than they historically did. And I think they're now regarded as a really significant part of the market, particularly in the areas of specialty business where expertise and focus on a particular class are absolutely essential.
And I guess that gives them an opportunity to serve sections of the market that are perhaps underserved.
Yeah.
Are there any that sort of stand out to you as targets for that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, looking at where we are at the moment, I mean, I'll give you a very easy example. The credit market has exploded in the last few years because of the demand from banks for capital relief, you know, because of Basel II. The banks are looking for creative solutions around how they can improve their capital position when they're making loans. So the credit market, and particularly around the Lloyd's market, where obviously Lloyd's have a better rating now, an A-plus rating, that's now very interesting to the banks. So we have a very strong credit business, Convergence Credit, which has benefited really from that explosion in demand. So, you know, and again, you know, the MGA world serves that very well. We've seen the same thing historically in things like M&A insurance and cyber. You know, the MGAs have played a very prominent role in the evolution of those markets. I mean, if you take M&A insurance, for example, it's quite an interesting class because it's non-repeat business. You know, you're basically insuring a deal and the outturn of a deal. Big lines are required. They're very specialized contracts. They're largely lawyers that underwrite those businesses. So it doesn't fit well within a sort of large corporate infrastructure. So people would actually sooner back an MGA with that level of specialist expertise than try and do it themselves. So I think increasingly, particularly where we're seeing evolving risk and evolving new classes to address that risk, the MGA sort of world is the most natural fit for that. And that's certainly the case for us.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
And tell us about client expectations, perhaps evolving client expectations. How do you evolve to meet those expectations of your clients?
I think client expectations never really changed, actually. I mean, they will always buy insurance to address a need. You know, our job is to try and assess their need and provide the best product for that. So I think the client, as always, obviously the client leans very heavily on its broker and its advisor to buy the right levels and the right and appropriate coverage. You know, our job is to provide that in whichever way we can. You know, so I think what's happening with clients is they're paying a lot more attention to less obvious areas of exposure, you know, and I would quote the cyber risk as being a very easy example of that, where I think there's much more of an awareness now of the exposure to their business from a cyber hack, for example. And we've seen so many examples of that in the last 6 months, you know, with Marks and Spencer and other large claims that we've had. So, yeah, I think clients obviously are always on their toes for risk that expose their business. Their brokers obviously bring them products that, you know, whether they are aware of the risk or not, that, you know, are emerging issues within the global market. And I think we do a good job at that, you know, by and large. I think the brokers do. I think we do in providing product. I think the market's still very creative. I think the Lloyd's ecosystem of subscription breeds good creativity because we're all sharing that risk. So, yes, I think we serve the market well. And, you know, we've got things like AI emerging and, you know, hugely complex and lots of insurance issues within that framework. And I think that's going to be the next interesting area where we're going to see specific targeted products.
Well, let's explore that a little bit. Let's talk about AI. I mean, some people see it as an opportunity. Some people see it as a challenge. Some people see it as both. Where do you stand on that?
I see it as an opportunity. I mean, we've... you know, we're sort of rather on the cutting edge than the bleeding edge. And we're much more comfortable with portfolios that we understand, that we can get our hands around and where we can see a track record. So I don't think you'll see beat at the absolute sharp end of creativity as much as we'd like to be. It doesn't really fit our model. But, you know, once a class starts showing some form and we can get our hands around it, understand the dynamics of the exposure, yeah, that's the point at which we will take a bigger look at it. I mean, there's lots of very creative markets around that, yeah, will lead the charge on that. I mean, we're not one of them. That's not to say that we're not creative. We just like to sit back and see how things evolve. And then we can establish a picture that we can talk to our capital about and explain the risk very clearly. I mean, you know, I think a number of people still struggle with the cyber risk, us being one, actually. We don't have a cyber business, you know, simply because I think there are areas of the cyber market, you know, in the tail particularly, that still need quantifying.
Yeah. I mean, cyber is a long-tail business, is it a short-tail business? Difficult to tell.
It is, indeed. Well, I mean, the big problem is the accumulation risk, you know, the aggregation of, you know, multiple insureds suffering from the same incident. I don't really know how you get your hands around that. And obviously the modeling around cyber improves by the day, but the tail risk is still very unquantifiable.
John, one final question, if I may. Is there one issue today that's being missed that's going to be really important in the future?
That's a very good question. I nothing obvious springs to mind for me. I think the industry is a lot more on its toes to global change. I mean, I think, you know, I'll give you a very good example. We're seeing a lot more convective storm activity. We're seeing a lot more fire activity because of global warming and so on. So I think we are very aware of and are addressing that exposure. I think we've been very alert to the problem. I think we're progressively finding better products to service that need. I think the ILS market is making a massive contribution in that regard in terms of bringing new capital to the table. I still believe there's an outcome for exchange traded products that we haven't really developed properly yet. You know, I'm very passionate about that and I'd love to be involved in that market evolving. But no, I think generally speaking, we do a very good job at addressing need and identifying exposures and bringing a product to the table to match that.
John, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed for your
time. Thank you, Richard. Nice to see you.
For AMBest TV, I'm Richard Banks.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AMBest TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.